From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. It's been an especially somber Veterans Day at Fort Hood, Texas, the scene of last week's shootings that claimed 13 lives. The commanding general there is calling on the post to dedicate itself to the victims' memories. Spokesman Colonel John Rossi says people there are still trying to make sense of what happened.
One of the things we're working very hard on is the behavioral health and close look at all those who are involved. Again, approximately 600 people at the scene that day, to include soldiers, to include civilian workers on location, and many of the first responders.
The spotlight of the investigation is now on whether investigators missed clues that could have headed off the shootings, but a military official denies knowing about contacts between the suspected shooter and a radical Islamic cleric. President Obama marked Veterans Day by following the tradition of laying a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery. He also made an unannounced visit to a part of the cemetery where troops killed in Iraq and Afghanistan are buried. NPR's Don Gagne reports.
On this Veterans Day, the president paid tribute to those who've made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. He said this day means many things to the many who have served and who continue to serve in the military. For veterans, he said, it's a day of memories.
For our troops, it is another day in harm's way. For their families, it is another day to feel the absence of a loved one and the concern for their safety. For our wounded warriors, it is another day of slow and arduous recovery.
Afterward, Mr. Obama's motorcade stopped in Section 60 of the cemetery, where soldiers who have died in the nation's two ongoing wars are buried. He got out and wandered for about 10 minutes among the white marble stones. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.
South Korea says it does not want to let a skirmish with North Korea's navy to undermine ties between the two countries. A North Korean patrol boat crossed the two countries' maritime border yesterday and was hit in an exchange of gunfire. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Beijing.
A spokesman for the presidential office told reporters that the government was making necessary defense preparations for any further incidents, but that it didn't want the clash to derail inter-Korean ties. The cause of the clash is still disputed. The North says its vessel was conducting a routine patrol. The South says the North's boat opened fire first. In Singapore, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said that the skirmish would not deter Washington from its plan to send Ambassador Stephen Bosworth to Pyongyang for talks by year's end. It would be the highest-level negotiations between Pyongyang and Washington so far under the Obama administration. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
On Wall Street, stocks are in positive territory. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 28 points at 10,257. The NASDAQ Composite Index is up 5 points. And from Washington, this is NPR News. In Germany, soccer players and fans are in shock after the goalkeeper for the German national team committed suicide yesterday by jumping in front of a train. NPR's Eric Westerveld has more from Berlin.
32-year-old soccer star Robert Enke suffered from depression, according to his doctor and family. Police today said they found a suicide note in which he apologized for hiding his mental illness. He stepped in front of a speeding train near Hanover on Tuesday. He was set to be Germany's goalkeeper at the World Cup next year. At a press conference, his wife Teresa said Enke tried unsuccessfully for years to overcome depression through therapy. He had also battled injuries and personal setbacks, including the death of his 2-year-old daughter to a heart ailment. His wife said, "We thought we could do everything and we could do it with love, but you can't always do it." The German Soccer Federation canceled an upcoming friendly match, saying the players are in shock. Eric Westerveld, NPR News, Berlin.
Also in Germany, a man who stabbed a pregnant Egyptian woman to death has been sentenced to life in prison. The stabbing occurred in a courtroom in Dresden over the summer. It sparked protests in Egypt and elsewhere across the Muslim world. The husband of retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor has died. John O'Connor died today in Phoenix of complications from Alzheimer's disease. He was 79. Justice O'Connor cited her husband's deteriorating condition when she retired in 2005. Police investigating the discovery of 11 bodies at a home in Cleveland are expanding their search. City crews are cleaning up debris next to murder suspect Anthony Soule's house so FBI agents can use thermal imaging gear to search the property. Police are calling the expanded search a precaution. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News.